We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
What up? What up, everybody? Hi. Welcome to the Sucky Broadcast. It is Valentine's Day. I'm early. You're like saying to yourself, hey, why is Bradley in here at this earlier time? And why is this music still playing? That's why the music's still playing. I'm in on an earlier time because it is Valentine's Day. I think I have plans tonight. So I spoke to my guest today, who is a Valentine's Day aficionado. And I was like, can you come on earlier today so we can do the broadcast earlier? And we were just going to record it, and then I was going to stream it later. But I thought, you know what? Let's just do it live. Let's just play it on the cuff. And then that way, if anybody who's commenting has any questions or anything like that, then they can be a part of it. They can be a part of the fun. So anyways, without further ado, I wanted to also say before we get started that today is my 1 year anniversary of moving to Texas. And I'm just very happy about that. I just wanted to celebrate that I have been here for officially 1 year. Hypothetically, I got here at 10 p.m. at night because I drove all day. It was a nice 12-hour drive from my parent. I stopped by my parents' house on the way. And it was a nice 12-hour drive all the way here with me and Brody. And Brody is here, and you might hear him in the background because the neighbors are being extremely loud because they are just being extremely loud today. So that's it, because I never film during the day. So that's what I'm realizing about this. Anyways, my guest today is the professional wingman. And he is here to talk about just that. Finding love and all that good stuff. So here is Thomas Edwards. Hello. Welcome to the show today. There you are. How are you doing?
Hey, it's good to see you, brother. How are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And congratulations. Happy anniversary. One.
Thank you.
But the more important thing is you have plans tonight?
I have plans tonight, and I don't know how to work. I don't want to get into any sort of like terms of service situation, whatever, but
got it.
I've been doing Lyft randomly. Okay. Like I just drive Lyft when I'm like, I need to drive Lyft. I need to like clear my head. And yeah. I've been doing that ever since a long time ago when I was in a movie about a rideshare driver. But I was driving the other day and I picked up this girl and we were having conversations or whatever like that. And I'm very clueless when it comes to girls hitting on me or whatever. And she essentially said when we were done, she was like, is it against the rules for me to get your number? And I was like, well, it's against the rules for me to ask for your number, but I don't think it's against the rules for me to give you my number or whatever. So I was like, sure, let's go. So we've been talking, we've been texting. And so it was sort of a mix of between my 1 year anniversary and I wanted to celebrate whatever. She wanted to see my movie. So I thought, oh, you can come watch my movie. We can hang out and watch my movie. And I got these pretty slick automatic salt and pepper shakers from TikTok that I've been promoting on TikTok. And I was like, oh, yeah, we can make popcorn. That's how it started. It was like, she's like, show me these salt and pepper shakers you got. That's what started our conversation.
I love it.
And then she goes, oh, show them to me. And I said, oh, I was going to invite you over for popcorn. She said, that's a good idea. You should have me over for a movie night. So that's the plan. We'll see if it happens or not. But that's the plan.
Love it.
So I wanted to make sure I was open for this evening. So,
hey, man. Listen, I tell my clients, if there's any reason to miss a session, it's because you're on a date.
Right.
Right. Like that's really the only reason where it's like, okay, I'll allow that because you're practicing what we talked about, you know? So
it's good.
Awesome.
Good. So welcome to the show. And if you want to give a quick rundown, let everybody know a little bit about you.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, my name is Thomas Edwards. I'm founder of The Professional Wingman. I've been doing this for over 15 years, which every time I say that, it blows my mind. Because I do look as young as I look, as I'll say. And I've worked with thousands of men from around the world and women find love. And as a result of my work, there are currently over 400 people who are married. Zero of them at this point have been divorced. And so clearly I'm doing something right. But more importantly, I love helping bring out the potential in people. I love helping them develop the social skills so they can go out and create connections no matter where they are. You know, first start off the bars, then it got into the coffee shops, then it was a supermarket, then it was serendipitous moments at the airport, libraries, subway platforms. I mean, obviously online. It's really to just empower the person to feel like they have the confidence and the skill set to go out there and find the love of their lives and be able to keep them as well. And it's been such a fun journey.
That's great. That's great. And I mean, like, what made you, like, what did it? What was the first thing that you were like, oh yeah, I want to do this?
Well, I went through my own personal, I guess, coming of age experience where I was struggling with my own personal confidence and it showed in my relationships. And because I was so fearful of rejection, I was fearful of losing connection, of being, you know, just ostracized from society. I was constantly shifting my behavior to compensate for that fear. But what I didn't know at the time, especially at a young age, we're talking like post high school, early stages of undergrad, that women would sense that. And whenever they did, it just made me even more unattractive. And eventually they would either dump me, cheat on me, and then culminated to that. And then I just went on my own personal journey to figure out, how can I learn to communicate better? How can I build confidence, self-confidence, not just general confidence, to kind of share the distinction? Confidence is what you say to other people about yourself, and self-confidence is what do you say to yourself about yourself. Okay. And so I really wanted to build my self-confidence and have that emanate as confidence. And I just, you know, as a kid,
because you agree that somebody can be confident then, but still not be self-confident.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We would see this as imposter syndrome is really a common term that's used, right? You're kind of showing that you are one way, but then you're questioning who you really are in the back end, you know?
That was my entire 2023. Literally, that was my entire 2023 as I was suffering from imposter syndrome. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And these are the things that my clients talk about, right? It's because, like, well, how do I present myself as a quality match if I don't believe that I am that match for her? That person is so attractive. She must have tons of options. How do I get her attention? Well, you've already lost because you don't believe that you can get her attention, right? And so the most common suggestion that is usually used is, you fake it. You fake it until you make it. And this is what I believe is the core part that creates imposter syndrome. Right, you're starting to do something from a place of lack of integrity. Right, you're not being who you are, as opposed to, hey, you know what? I'm not good at social skills. I'm not good at connecting with people. Let me practice communication. Let me practice a little bit of small talk. Let me practice how to initiate conversations. Let me practice storytelling, asking questions that are open-ended and create a deeper level of intimacy. Let me practice flirting. Right, like these are all things that are skills that can be developed with practice, not faking. And what I've seen is the kind of the number reason, one reason why women leave men is because they end up not being who they presented themselves to be.
Right. Gotcha. Totally. That worked. And that works. But I mean, because not hypothetically, in reality, we met because we were on two different trajectories.
Yep.
And you were trying to get people together and I was helping people get apart. and it was the sort of the same thing. It was like honesty with each other. And a lot of times when people would call me and they'd be like, I need you to break up with somebody for this person, they'd give the reasons why. And I'd say, you know what? You know why you want to do this. So you should communicate this on your own because it's a lot healthier and better for the person that you're with to communicate why you want to break up with that person, et cetera. But the same is true. There's a lot of it was the faking it till you make it sort of scenario where, oh, this person presented themselves as one thing, but then when I got to know them, I realized they were a vampire or whatever, or something worse. Yeah, something worse.
Yeah,
but no, I get it. That's what I said. It's like a lot of last year was me discovering, yeah, there's fake it till you make it, but then there's a point when you're just lying to yourself, and mm-hmm. that's not healthy for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And once again, confidence and self-confidence works the same way, right? Yep. You're lying to other people, and then you're eventually lying to yourself. And I believe it's harder to live with the lie of yourself than it is with the lie of other people, right? Like
right.
other people, you have some leeway, you have some runway to work with, because those lies don't really catch up. But when you have to go home to yourself and you live in these lies, it can take a toll on you. You know,
yeah.
it's both physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, and so learning how to practice, which is crazy to say this, but learning how to practice being authentic is such an underutilized skill set that I believe exists today, you know, so I really focus on that, even to the point of polarization. Like, I'd rather someone be completely true to themselves to the point where it ruffles a few feathers, because you want that to be a point of filtration, right? Mm-hmm. You want the people who are not aligned with your values to not be exposed to them and spend time with them. But on the other side, you want people who are obsessed with those values and absolutely love you. And in the world of dating, that's ideally what you want. You want that partner to be obsessed in a healthy way with like those values and be really attracted to that, because that's what you want.
Yeah. Do you feel that, because this is how I've been living my life a little bit. And sorry, like hypothetically, I've never been Thomas's client. I feel like at some point I should have been Thomas's client, but I've always just like, I don't know. I guess it felt weird. Like, short story. I lived in a small town in Iowa, and everybody knew everybody. Mm-hmm. And the doctor and I were good friends. We played poker together. And then one day he had to give me a prostate exam, and it felt weird. Cause like, I'm like, we know each other and this is weird sort of thing. So I don't know. I feel like I don't think it's too weird, but I just like, I've never like said, hey, Thomas, help me. I think I'm doing okay on my own though. I think I'm doing okay on my own. Last year I almost thought about it because I'm like, maybe I need Thomas in my life more. But what I was going to say before I just derailed my thought right there was, oh my gosh, I just forgot what I was going to say. All right. No, what I was going to say was, when you primarily work with men, right? You don't necessarily have female clients.
I used to. And I still do in some cases. But for like what I feel called to do in today's world, just seeing where things are going, I just want to work with men.
Okay.
Men need this more than I believe women could ever need it, because in the truth is, women have their own issues that challenges that need to happen, but in terms of dating, they don't really exist nearly as much as they do for men. When we live in a world where anything masculine is considered toxic, right? Guys don't know what their role is in terms of relationships and intergender dynamics. You know, guys are lacking less and less social skills. You know, women will still be naturally immersed in enough environments where they will develop this intelligence and this skill set naturally just based on pure exposure, right? And for guys, they have to be proactive in developing these skill sets, or else they won't have them. There's no other immersive system or societal system that's going to allow that to happen. Today, back then, it was a lot easier. You had to go see people, right? Like when you called someone on a landline phone to meet up with them, like you had to go there, right? Like there wasn't this texting. So we're so past that. So I just feel more called to work with these men, because I know these men will also become fathers who will then need to share these skill sets to their kids and hopefully carry on a generation, you know, the next generation of social interaction, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But also, have you ever had a situation where, I don't know if this would be a case where, have you ever had a situation where a woman has said to you, like, dude, you need to work with my brother, or you need to work with this guy because he needs help and I can't help him, but can you help him sort of?
Yeah.
Thing. Have you ever had that happen? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I've had brothers refer me. I had them refer their brother. I've had moms refer their sons.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. And I've had that go on. I even had a couple situations where I had their wives recommend their husbands to work on just being able to have better connection with them.
Okay. I was like,
alternative dating, but just like, to help develop those communication skills to a deeper level so they can increase their connection. So, at first when it would happen, I would be really surprised, but now it's pretty normal for me to see that.
Okay. That's awesome. I gotta take a tiny quick break, cause I gotta talk about a sponsor real quick.
Go ahead.
That's what I do. Let me tell you about the sponsor. Magic Mind is the sponsor. I don't know have you been paying attention to like mushrooms and stuff like that? I do a lot.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of like homeopathic stuff with mushrooms and eating and mushroom gummies and this and that, because I'm very interested in it. And Magic Mind reached out to me and I've been taking it. I take it before the show. I take it like in the afternoon, cause I'm always run down in the morning. Mm-hmm. And this is just something that's been great for me. And it's got organic matcha in it, which is great for boosting your energy.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. It's got organic lion's mane mushroom, which is, you hear about that a lot. And that's good for like, if I did exercise, it'd be good for anti-inflammation of exercising, but it's good for neural growth.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I've noticed that my mood has enhanced a lot since I've been taking these. That's not me BSing you because they're a sponsor, but it's me saying I've been taking this straight for like 2 weeks and I feel incredible and I feel great. And I want people to experience it themselves and check it out because of the other thing, which is the word I love saying the most, which is Bacopa Monieri, which supports attention, cognitive processing, working memory. And that's something I've been dealing with a lot. So use those skills, use your memory and memorize that. If you go to the website, magicmind.com/Bradman, you can sign up and you can get a great deal. I think it's like 58% off your first subscription. I don't know the exact number. I should know that because the deal always changes, but it's always a good deal. You can use the coupon code Bradman20. And I recommend you check it out. It comes in these little bottles like this. You just take one a day. Nice little energy shot. It's wonderful. Try it out, everybody. I'm telling you, Magic Mind has really just changed my way of thinking. Literally, it's changed my way of thinking. So now back to Thomas. So got to pay the bills, Thomas.
No, that's right. Yes. Got to get paid, man.
Yeah, yeah. So my next question for you, though, is when do you feel that this, as you started to work with more people, it helped you in your personal life? Do you feel like when you see other people and you see the things that other people are doing, you start to think to yourself, hey, you know, I kind of do this too. And if I'm offering this advice to this person, maybe it should reflect back onto me. Do you ever have those moments?
Probably more now, as I've gotten older than ever before, you know, like I was told at a young age that I just had this kind of old soul wisdom about me. And I rolled with that. I trusted that. And that plus experience allowed me to be able to give the advice and it had it work. Now, for me personally, right, like I'm now married. I have a 6-year-old daughter, soon to be 7. Anytime I'm
getting... I can't believe she's 6. She's almost 7.
It's crazy, right? That's absolutely crazy.
That's insane.
You know, and having gone through so much in my personal life, now when I give advice, I'm always also thinking about like, one, is this something that I would do?
Mm-hmm.
And typically the answer is yes. Whenever the answer is no, I stop and I just call out myself and say like, this is not actually something that I would do. This is what I would do. Or this is what I see have seen work with other clients. Because I want to make sure that any advice that I give, I practice what I preach, but also I've seen it work with other clients, right? So if I haven't tested it, I haven't experienced it, or I haven't seen it with other clients, it's not advice that I'll give. It just doesn't, at least for me, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
If I even do research and I see studies and I do a lot of, you know, research and studies and I read a lot of articles, if I'm not seeing proof of that in my clients or I'm not trying it out myself, it's not going to be relevant to my work. But there are moments where I do get onto a soapbox and I give my client, you know, specific feedback. And when I sit back and I reflect on that, I do ask myself, like, huh, that might be good for me to implement as well. I mean, I've seen it work with my clients, but let me try to use that, you know? Yeah. And it works. Like, it really does. And I'm grateful to have that awareness to see that and the humility to say, you know what, like, if I'm going to give that advice, let me also do it as well or give it a shot.
And do you ever have a situation where you have a client who you don't necessarily, like, you're like, not necessarily lost cause, but you're like, this person's got the wrong intentions on why they want to be here and what they're trying to accomplish. And you're like, I don't want to work with you. Do you ever have those moments or ever?
I would say when the professional wingman was at like its first, one of his first peaks, this was probably like 2013, 2014. So like 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. That was our first like crazy ascent. There were guys who were kind of slipping through the cracks, if you will, and wanting to use this as a means of getting laid, to belittle women, disrespect them. And I, in the initial interview process, right, of like signing them up for coaching, they would say all the right things, right? But then when we were out and I would see them and how they would behave, there was something about it that felt off. So I've been in a position where I got to fire some clients for just, you know, bad behavior. And then there's other clients who, I want to say bad behavior. That's probably not the best.
Well, I mean, would you say it's like, so you started and we started around the era where like you had the pickup artist was going on, mm-hmm. on TV. I had got a bunch of books because they were funny. And when I did radio, I did a lot of interviews. Like I had The Asshole's Guide to Handling Chicks. I had The Game. I had all these books and all these different people coming in. And do you feel like it was that some of them weren't necessarily lost cause, but they just needed to be reprogrammed sort of things?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'd use the word reprogram, but on that same kind of like, you know, level, it's like they needed to have new insight, right? Okay. They needed to see that there was different ways to go about the same process. And what I saw more importantly, actually, I want to make sure I directly answer your question, right?
Okay.
There have been situations where men have been unwilling to do what is necessary to move forward. And when you get to that point, there's not much I can do, right? I can't go in and have the conversations for them on their behalf, right?
Right, right.
They have to actually do it. So when they get to that point where they're unwilling to do it, that would be what I would consider a lost cause. But over the years, I've also seen that those things are just symptoms of potentially a core issue, which is what happened beforehand. Like, what was the trauma that happened beforehand that caused them to have this distorted view on women, on dating, on what they feel that they need to do in order to become the type of man that they believe they need to be, they think they need to be in order to attract the women that they want, right? And so, 'cause when you're dumped or mistreated or taken advantage of, it's very easy to have a level of resentment that you want to then take out on women, right? That could become the driving force for your development. But at the same time, and that could be used in a positive way. However, if not managed, all of a sudden now you're taking your resentment out on women who had no, you know, obviously connection to what you experienced in the past. And now you're just like spreading your trauma, which is not okay in my book.
Not at all.
And sometimes those things are far beyond my pay grade, right? Like that's like deep therapy work, licensed, you know, physicians, that kind of stuff. So I don't take on that to that level. But once I identify that and I see that, I have some simple frameworks that I use from my experience of how to handle trauma and cognitive behavioral therapy, because I also, you know, saw a therapist and worked through that myself. But when it gets to that level, I do refer them to work that, because until that gets resolved, it's going to be very hard to get to that next level that they want and to be able to have a healthy relationship at that next level.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was what I was doing. I was like, it's not necessarily that I want people to break up with each other, but it's also like, I'm telling you why you're getting broken up with, because a lot of times people don't tell people why they're breaking up. And if it's something that you can change, or if it's something you don't want to change, you know, find somebody who shares that similar situation with you, similar interest with you. But it really is, there is a lot of people don't ever like assume that men have trauma. I think that's the biggest problem. And that's the biggest stigma, is that, oh, he's a man, he doesn't have any sort of trauma. Dude, I have trauma.
Yeah.
I have trauma, which is eating at me about this thing that's happening tonight, because I had a similar incident like that in Chicago that turned out to be a disaster. Mm. And so I don't know if I want to go back to that or not, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of, and that's why I didn't go out last year. Didn't go out with anybody last year. This is like the first time I've hung out with somebody in a non, I don't know, sort of way in a very long time. So, but no, I get it. There's a lot of trauma. And I think it's good that you address that, because I think it's okay in 2024 for a guy to say, you know what? I've had some bad experiences and I'm gun shy. Hypothetically. Yeah.
And it's okay to acknowledge that. What's not okay is not processing it. What's not okay is not learning and have the education of how to identify these feelings and learn how to process them. Because in today's world, where freedom of expression is something that's pushed out, no matter how you feel, for a man, that could be really, really destructive.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got to see glimpses of that in the dating space, which in the grand scheme of things, very minimal damage, right? But like, when you take the intensity of those emotions and you see what's going on out there in today's world, like, that's a serious issue. That's a serious epidemic, if you will, around, you know, mental health and men being able to resolve their trauma and being able to work through it. It's not just the freedom to express your feelings, because we all have feelings, we're human beings, but having the skill set, or at least the intelligence or the literacy or however you want to call it, education to learn how to identify and process those feelings and then transmute them in a way that can lead to, I don't want to say productivity, but positive behavior that can positively contribute to your relationships, your community, and your society. That for me is really important. And I'll just throw another thing in there, because you talked about, like, there's something you had mentioned earlier and it just kind of popped up, right? Like, when most guys go into an interaction with a woman, they don't know what she's thinking, right? Yeah. Like, they don't know what the last look on her face is when they're walking away. Are they satisfied? Are they excited? Or are they disgusted what they experience? I had the great privilege to be able to see all of that. And I even went as far as going up to those women and asked them, hey, just for research purposes, like, how was that interaction? What do you remember from that interaction? What was your best part? What was your least favorite part? Will you actually reach out and connect with them? Right. And that was valuable feedback. Right. And I think guys are dying to know, even as much as it might hurt them, they do want to know. They hurt their ego. Mm-hmm. They do want to know, because at the end of the day, they just want to get better and they just want to know what it takes to connect with women.
And do you feel, speaking of connecting with women, also, by the way, I would be interested in calling the recent influx of men experiencing dating trauma as a mandemic. That is the name I want to give it. That's what I thought of when we were talking. But do you feel like with the influx, I'm saying influx a lot, but with the influx of OnlyFans and stuff like that, where guys can talk to girls and interact with girls and give them money to interact with them, and you have a lot of these simp situations and stuff like that going on, where guys aren't going out because they can just stay at home, not spend any money on a date, go on to OnlyFans and talk to some girl, and the girl will fake like them back or talk to them back, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You feel that has hurt men right now in the dating scene? Like, that's maybe affected a lot of like the levels of men that are actually going out and doing stuff? And where?
I think not only does it hurt them, I don't think we'll really know how bad it is until maybe 10 years from now, how much this has actually hurt. I mean, social media alone was kind of the starting process. Social media globalized the way that people can see each other, and the I don't want to, what's the word that comes up? It's like the facade, right? That can come with social media. Yep. It has completely distorted people's realistic point of view around like how communication, how connection works, right? And the social currency. And, you know, women now can absolutely monetize their value in the world, which is through their looks, right? Yep. And guys don't have to go through the process of rejection and getting better and going through the traditional growth path to finding genuine, authentic connection and love. And they can get it completely simulated through social media and synthetically through OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you have a real challenge to overcome and you're so fearful of the journey that's required to get there, it's now become easier than ever to find synthetic solutions such as OnlyFans, such as porn, such as social media to give you that dose.
And let me tell you an experience that I just recently had, because I have several friends that are on OnlyFans. And yes, I'm on OnlyFans. Like, I'm always adding up because I've always thought about using it for comedy and stuff like that. So I'm on OnlyFans and I've subscribed to people for OnlyFans, anybody who's free or whatever. And the other day, one of my friends started by the way, I don't think I can say that. I think TikTok Live kicks me off for saying that. I'm on TikTok Live, so we'll find out. But anyways, so OF, we'll say OF from now on, okay? Yeah. So, or something like that. So anyways, they started chatting with me one day. Just popped in and started chatting with me. And I'm like, okay, well, you know it's me. This is weird. I'm like, and I even said, is this AI? And they're like, no, it's me. What's up? And talk, have a conversation. Conversation got a little heated. And then the next day, I get an angry message. Like, what are you doing? Don't talk like that to me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she gets on Facebook and goes, I was testing out my AI yesterday and it was a good time. And I go, so you were testing out your AI. And I thought this was like a legitimate, like heart-to-heart conversation that we were having about us and our friendship and growing our friendship or whatever. And I'm just like, what? But that's the thing is, like, I see her pushing out her AI chat and stuff like that. And I see a lot of girls doing that. And I think that makes me sad for men that they're comfortable knowing that, because I didn't know, but there are men that know they're paying for an AI chat and they're okay with that. And even I'll be fair. Last year, for a very short time, I had one of those chat bots on my phone, whatever the companion thing or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And I started talking about it, and I had to like turn off because I'm like, this is getting like I'm having like heart to heart conversations with this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope, I can't do this. This is going to make me never want to. This is going to turn me into a whatever that movie with Joaquin Phoenix sort of thing.
Oh yeah, with her.
Yeah.
Right.
Her. That's what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. And I was also thinking about, like, remember Tamagotchis?
Yes.
Right? And we used to have those virtual pets and we'd carry them around and, you know, in the middle of class, we got to like try to sneak in to try to feed it so it doesn't die at the end of the day. Right? That was a simulated experience of having a pet.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's sort of like OF because you have to go in, you have to give them attention, feed them attention. Okay. Yeah.
It's a simulated experience of a relationship, right? Yeah. Now we have AI chatbots where you can simulate deep, authentic conversations, right? And so if we're not careful, we can believe that this is real.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now we live in a simulated, a simulated world. So there is importance, significant importance on being able to keep these social skills at a reasonable level, because it'll either lead to you being completely isolated and living in a virtual world. You could either struggle in the real world, right? And not know what to do, or you actually can find yourself, moving ahead because you're able to build connections and meet people in real life,
Yeah.
And so one can see this is really scary. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. I think just like online dating, when it had its surge in the, back in 2010, 2011, maybe even a little bit later, if you remember back, just to give a little bit of history right here, right? Like 2009 was when I started the professional wingman.
Okay.
Twitter, I think only had like 500,000 users, right? So super early.
Oh, yeah. Early Twitter. Yeah.
Right. location-based services was kind of a new thing, right? People didn't really like the idea of people or apps or programs knowing its location because it felt unsafe, right? This is right. When Gowalla, if people remember that, Foursquare, right?
Foursquare had somebody get stalked through Foursquare. A friend of mine gets stalked through Foursquare who worked for Foursquare and then quit Foursquare because that very reason.
Totally, right? Yeah. Now, online dating didn't pick up location-based stuff initially. I mean, there were some...
there was OkCupid, but they weren't really apps. They were just like online.
And they weren't mobile exclusive, right? Like there were websites also that were still available during this time. So I just want to create like a little bit of a picture of what that looked like, right? Location-based dating didn't really like get big until the latter years of the 2010s, you know? And so once that happened and then COVID happened, it just accelerated everything. And I had said this back in like 2010, that at some point we're going to shift into what I at the time called like an analog age, where the desire to want to connect in person was going to be so strong that we would see a concerted effort to bring that back.
Yeah.
I do believe that we are seeing that now. I think people are burnt out from online dating apps. Speed dating has surged through the roof. You know, people wanting to meet in real life IRL is, I think, a hot trending topic more than ever. And at the same time, we're seeing the advancement of AI, and we're going to see a similar rise of how AI and dating are going to come together. Yeah. And I think by 2030, we're going to see another cycle where people are just going to be exhausted and they're going to get back. I think as humans, we're cyclical. And I think at the end of the day, we do understand that the importance of interpersonal connection, and we get sidetracked by these like advancements because of the instant results that it can provide, you know? But it does provide its dangers along the way. So it's just a matter of being aware of that, you know, and doing your best.
Yeah. That's all it is really. I mean, it's just very interesting where we've gone, where we're going, and just like you said, we kind of both started around the same time. I started in 2010 on with the IDumpYou stuff, but around the same time, it was just like this. Because remember, like I remember Ashley Madison, like for example, there was a time where like cheating was okay, and people were like advertising it on TV. Oh, you want to cheat on your girlfriend? Here's a way to do, or your wife? Here's a way to do it discreetly. You know, I signed up for that not to use it, but to like research it because I was doing all that stuff. And I remember my name coming out on the leak when they called it. And I was just like, I'm fine. I'm not married or anything at this point in my life. And it was just me researching. So that's great. But yeah, it was just like that. And I do remember when Tinder and stuff like that came out and you're just like, this isn't going to go anywhere. And I used to joke with people about the quality of stuff was always, in my opinion, it was Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, Match.com, and then eHarmony. And that was the order. Like, depending on how serious you wanted it, then that was the order that you wanted to do. And then I remember when I lived in LA in 2016, 2015, I remember a resurgence of like OkCupid when it went from website to mobile app.
Yeah.
And you would see those signs around town where it was like DTF. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and it was, and there's a lot of that going on, but there was also, you know, right next to a sign that says gonorrhea. so because that was the other thing about New York LA that always got me was those giant gonorrhea signs that were everywhere,
and that.
But I mean, I just think you're right. I think there's an influx. I think when things become easier, like when I started on live streaming and I was doing live streaming on Justin TV and I had to carry around a laptop, and then it stopped, and then all of a sudden Periscope came out, and now I could do it on my phone. And now I can do it on my phone on TikTok, and I can do both. It's a big change on convenience. And then it stops again, and then there's another round of convenience because they do something else where all of a sudden now it's going to be on the goggles, and we're going to all live like Wally in that situation.
Yeah, or player number one, right? Like the totally simulated experience.
Or we're getting close because you said 2030, Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Okay, remember Demolition Man?
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty close to what we're dealing with.
We're not that far away. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and by the way, like, I want to make clear, like, I'm not by no means am I bashing technology and these apps. Right. I think it's important to use the tools that are available to you, but make sure that you're clear on the intention in which you're using this. Right. And what's the goal? Like, online dating apps, online mobile dating apps, right? The purpose of using them is to get offline.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Business
like
is...
Hinge or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Hinge's whole thing was like, delete Hinge us.
Yeah. Right now, I think Hinge is the best app if you're looking for a relationship. Yes. Just based on, you know, research and seeing the numbers and all that stuff, right? But if you think about the business of online dating, their job is to not get you off the app, get you off there as slowly as possible. And I don't blame them because in a capitalistic society, this is their, that's their goal. They need to make money, right? But as a user, you need to know that and construct your strategy in a way that can help you get the outcome that you want without having to spend thousands of dollars a month across multiple apps to try to find the love of your life. You might as well just hire someone like me to help you be able to not only get the relationship, but to keep one, right?
And right, so right.
You're being able to have a much bigger perspective of like how you're going to be using technology is so important, you know, and educate yourself and make sure that you're aligned with your, you know, your intention and the goal of why you're using this to make sure that you're using it the way that you want to.
Yep. Thomas, it was great having you on today. I know that your schedule is very tight and you've got clients that you're working with, and I appreciate you taking your time to hop in and talk to me and talk to us on Valentine's Day. I hope that men can listen to this later on and women too, and get some sort of feedback from it. And I hope they can reach out to you. And if they do want to reach out to you, what are some of the best ways they can reach out to you?
Yeah. So I'm across most social media sites as The Professional Wingman. So we're talking Instagram, YouTube. I got some great videos up there and some more content coming. And then if you want to actually work with me, you can go to theprofessionalwingman.com/apply. And we can have a conversation where we can talk about, you know, what's getting in the way of you finding what it is that you're looking for. And we can come up with a step-by-step plan of how we can help you get there. And if you want to do it together, let's do it. If not, that's fine. You still get the plan and some clarity around, you know, where, how you can get to where you want to go. So I hope to hear from you, and hopefully together we can, as I like to say, you know, win the quest of love, right? And also win the game of life.
Right, right. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. And maybe you'll hear from me after tonight. I don't know. Who knows?
Have fun tonight, my friend. Enjoy yourself.
I will. I will have fun tonight. So thank you very much, Thomas, for being on today. And thank you. I'm going to move him over here. I got one more thing to say before we go, and that's to thank another sponsor of the show. The Brass Tap offers 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere. They carry every craft beer from almost all of the Texas breweries, from Rollertown Brew Works to Tupps to Peticola's Brewing. You can always count on them to deliver craft beers you're looking for. And they also carry craft beers from other states and even craft beers that have been brewed by monks. All right. Every week they have special events, weekly night events like pint nights, music bingo every Wednesday at 7 p.m., family feud or theme trivia on Thursday at 7 p.m., and a new local artist every Saturday night. They also have one of the longest running happy hours in all of DFW, with select $5 drafts, discounted shots, $6 wines, $7 special drinks of the week, along with food specials under $10. And did you know that if you go to a Brass Tap in any of these locations, ready, here we go, Allen, Prosper, Sashi, Richardson, and Frisco, if you go to any of those locations, you can say Sucky Broadcast and get a free appetizer. You just have to walk in and say, hey, I heard about you on the Sucky Broadcast. You can get a free appetizer. That's great. Maybe you want to go to the Frisco Richardson location and try the Old World Pizza that's made to order. You can only get that at those two locations, and the guests are raving about those. Maybe you want to go hang out in the pet-friendly patio area and hang out and have a couple drinks with your friends and bring your pets along for the time, whatever you want to do. But again, mention the broadcast, mention this podcast by saying Sucky Broadcast, and you get a free appetizer. It's as simple as that. Guys, this has been a very informative show. It's just a great week. And it was just a great week and a good time for everybody. And I'm just glad that you guys got to share it with me. Also, if you have time, not only check out the Sucky Broadcast, but also check out my personal blog. I'm doing a journey right now I'm leading up to my birthday, which is taking place on September 24th, which is 9/24 of 9/2024. And that's going to be a big deal for me. You can find that at my website, bradman.tv/blog. You can follow, you can watch all the videos there. You can see all the stuff that's going on with that. You can check out my bucket list because I got a bunch of stuff that I'm trying to accomplish before my 50th birthday. Yeah, I'm turning 50 in 2024. It's insane. And I'm just excited for all of you guys to partake in all my fun, all my activities. I love you all. Thank you, everybody who watched. Thank you, watched on Facebook. Thank you, watched on Twitter. Thank you to the TikTok crew that's in here sending me love. I love you guys. And if you're listening to this on a replay, we usually do these Wednesday night live at 9 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, excuse me. And you can always hear that on the web. You can go to the website, thissuckybroadcast.com. Check it out. Love you guys. Have a wonderful week. Happy Valentine's Day.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.